Blog Talk Radio.
Choose who we
We choose the children we give them to because we see them.
The kids got poor clothes and big eyes, and we know where the orphanages are. This, the Chilapanzinco orphanage, we know the orphans that are down there. I'm not making a big difference. One thing my wife and I like to do is, of course, we like to bring a bag of candy after so that we give extra candy to the kids. So I'm going to continue to do this in Mexico because it makes me happy. I'm looking at the faces of little children. This is what I wish to do. I'm going to start reading about the event right now. I don't know how many people are going to join us, but I certainly would welcome anybody. I know some of you guys are in many different countries. You're not going to make it. Howsoever. The largest motorcycle club in Mexico and the most well-established is the Solo Angels. You're better in Espanol than I am. Angeles? Angeles?
Angeles.
Angeles? That's not good Spanish.
Solo Angeles,
Angeles, I think.
Solo
Angels, for I can't speak
Solo
there.
Angeles.
Been around for a very, very long time. They're going to have their 25th toy run into downtown Tijuana. It's going to be hosted by San Diego Harley-Davidson. It's going to be, the ride will be escorted by the Solo Angels CM, Club Mexico. Club Moto, excuse me, again my bad Spanish, in Tijuana. It's going to leave at 10:30 at New York Mike's Place, San Diego Harley-Davidson, and it'll end at Christmas Fiesta on Revolution Street. And yes, that is the famous Revolution Street. If you want to leave a little bit early and hit some of the side streets, who am I to judge, my friends, and all that? Toy distribution, música. There I go with that poor Espanol again.
Well,
I'm going to have about four flatbeds.
Just say it in English, Bill.
Well, I'm trying to work on my Espanol. Give me a little credit here, right? God, yeah, so critical. Four different stages, screwdriver, as you know, in the past,
right.
All playing different types of music.
Right.
Motorcycles lined up, I couldn't begin how many blocks it is. Entertainment and food. They're going to ask, bring $10 donation or a toy. If you get a $10 donation, then the Solo Angels Motorcycle Club will make sure that goes to the correct orphanages. And for $10, they're going to give you a breakfast and a pin. We're going to meet at 9 o'clock at 5600. Bernie Mesa Road.
Oh.
Wait, so we're cutting in? Okay, never mind. Now, a lot of you people that don't go to foreign countries, you need to have insurance. Okay. You need to have insurance. So insurance will be available, like, for one day at San Diego Harley-Davidson. We're going to cross, the Solo Angels are going to escort everybody down across the border. And I'm having a little difficulty this year because I may have some relatives, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do in this one yet. There's so many more toy runs going on this weekend here. Now, we're going to stay in Mexico on Revolution Street. And for you guys with Wivels, you can run down to Puerto Penasco. You can run down to Ensenada, Rosarito, have a wonderful dinner. Or 1 or 2 o'clock, the Solo Angel is going to escort you back across the border to America. They're going to ask you to make a child's Christmas special. If it's sometime in the future, you want to go down with me and Screwdriver, and you don't want to go down a large group, we do go to some of the orphanages. I cannot differentiate between a child in America, a child in Africa, a child anywhere. I need to tell you, a child is a child is a child. What do you got there? Oh, okay, good, thank you. So Sunday the 19th, we're going to join the Solo Angels as they hand out toys to children in need during the big Christmas festival on Revolution. Again, you guys are long distance. You can't make us, but the guys in California and Arizona, come on down on a Friday. Party at the Solo Angels Clubhouse. Drop
right.
My name, drop Screwdriver there.
Yeah, just so you guys know, it's up on the block.
Oh, okay.
It'll run tomorrow. It's running consecutively.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Well, anyway, one more time. Bring a toy at 9 o'clock, San Diego Harley-Davidson, 5600 Curdy Mesa Road. We're going to cross the border. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to get you back across to America. My friend, New York Mike, it's going to be very hard for him. He's going to emcee the events at his shop.
Yeah.
He's going to step up to the plate and try to say a few words of encouragement with them. Who do we have on the line? Let me get off the stuff here a little bit here. I don't want to take all
Hello
the
time. Hello there. Who's on the phone?
Caller, please.
Me.
Hey, you want to go to Tijuana with me, little girl?
Oh, honey, I wish I could. It sounds like a great event for a great cause, and I wish I could steal away.
Little girl, the VIP party. We go into Tijuana Saturday night, and we party, and then we meet the group. They come in on Sunday morning. We're already in there, though.
Oh, that's
you
cool.
You can come down with the VIP boys.
Well, thank you for the invite. You know, I thought it was interesting when you mentioned about getting the insurance, because traditionally insurance that you buy here in the States will only cover you in the U.S. and Canada and not in Mexico. So that was an important point to bring up.
Yes, Betsy, there is insurance. There's American companies that will insure you so many miles into Mexico. But I always tell everybody, check with your insurance company. If not, just get the one day's insurance. In America, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
And then in Mexico, though, you are guilty.
Until proven innocent.
Yeah. We're on the, and I know John's out there, we're on the English law system, and I think Mexico's on the European law system, which is vice versa from ours or something.
Yeah.
But either way, don't worry, little girl. We'll take good care of you.
Oh, thank you, thank you. One of these days, I'll be able to steal away and get out there, I promise.
We're so glad. We hope, Foursquare, I hope we can see you sometime. You know, have we heard from John Del Santo? Has he called in?
He's right there.
John, Betsy, please stay with us, please. John,
okay.
Can you jump in?
Okay.
I have a few questions I want to ask you, please.
Okay, cool.
John, can you give us an update on what's happening here with the bait going to the end of the year and start of the new year? And I have a specific question I want to ask you at the end, and you can say you don't want to discuss it until you get more information. I don't want to stonewall you or blindside you, but I have a pertinent question I want to ask you. So please first tell us what's going on at the end of the year and a bait's plan for the first of next year.
Okay, well, the thing we've got right now is we are sending letters and emails to the AMA and to Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor here, because the AMA just named him the AMA Motorcyclist of the Year. What they do is the designation shows the person who has had the most profound impact on the world of motorcycling, better or worse. That's the way it is. Just like Time magazine had Saddam Hussein once as the man of the year. But still, it looks like they're rewarding him for something, which they're not. But a lot of people today have been sending in stuff to the AMA and saying, look, why didn't you name him the worst motorcyclist of the year? Or
John, that would have been Gary Busey, sir.
I'm sorry, what?
That would have been Gary Busey, the worst motorcycle in California.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So, also, we did pretty good with the new driver's manual came out, the 2010 driver's manual. And actually, for the first time, they really recognized motorcyclists. In other words, this is the driver's manual that mostly goes to automobile drivers. Okay, and they mentioned in there that motorcycles are allowed in the HOV lanes, and that they are allowed to lane split. So they gave us a little bit of heads up there, a little bit of recognition. And
John, can I just ask a simple question?
Ma'am.
How many pages did they allot to motorcycles in the driver's manual, or is it a separate manual out there?
Now, for what? For motorcycle manual, or...?
Well, I'm asking because I'm here in Massachusetts. Do they have their own motorcycle manual, or is it included in the regular auto driver's manual?
They're two separate manuals.
Okay.
Two separate manuals, and the one that is for basically for car drivers are the ones where we were recognized and telling the car drivers that, you know, and really the people that mostly see this are new drivers.
Right.
Okay. Or new to the state. And they said to recognize and share the road. It was really they did a pretty good job with it there. So by the way, you're from what? Boston?
Right, right. And
question you. Somebody mailed me an email today and said they wanted to be put on my email list.
That was me.
Oh, okay. So you're Gypsy.
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. I just wasn't sure who that was. So okay, cool. You're on the local six email list.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, and then the other thing that we are working on coming into the new year, as Bill had asked, was we are working on several of our members are working on getting the changeable message signs, you know, the be aware of motorcyclists, share the road with motorcyclists, getting those funded. And I don't want to get too deep into that because we don't want to tip off some people who may try to knock that down, but we're trying to get that funded so those signs go up more often. They went up.
John, that sounds pretty clandestine. I have a very special favor to ask you. We have a caller who's only got about 10 minutes, and he has to be somewhere else. May I bring him in and bring you on back again? And Betsy, stay with us, please. And I apologize, John, for this. Caller, you're on. Caller,
hello,
are you
Bill.
With us? Yes, yes.
Hello, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
We're okay. Tell us what's going on in your life. What's coming up this weekend with you guys?
Yeah, this is Downtown. I'm the president of the Oceanside chapter, the Pioneers, and this weekend we'll be hosting our 15th annual big cover-up. It's a donation run where people bring blankets and socks and other warm articles of clothing to keep Brother Benno's up north and St. Vincent de Paul down south in San Diego to keep their clients warm during the winter months here in San Diego. I know some people don't believe it gets too cold in San Diego, but if you're out there on the streets, you can come to San Diego anytime and spend a couple nights on the streets and see how cold it gets. So we've been doing this for 15 years, the Pioneers in cooperation with the Messengers of Recovery. We're both clubs are clean and sober motorcycle clubs. And,
John, can I interrupt there for a second? We don't normally find two different motorcycle organizations coming together. What brought you two organizations together to do this type of a program? How did this come about, if you could tell us, sir?
Yeah, we just run in the same community. Like I said, both clubs are clean and sober, and there are a number of sober clubs in the San Diego area, and it just is something that got put together years ago. There was a need, and being clean and sober, we've come into a new way of doing things. We kind of put our old lifestyles behind us a little bit, and a lot for that matter, and decided to give back to the community that, you know, we took from for so long. So the Messengers and Pioneers got together and saw that there was a need for this type of support for the homeless in San Diego and both North and South San Diego. So, we work in the cooperation with them. And if there's, Bill, you know, in the sober motorcycle community, if there's ever a cause or anything that anybody on two wheels can help out with, you know, we'll be there. Sober or not, the motorcycle community in San Diego is just huge, and everybody's
and
always
growing
willing to
and growing
in for a good cause. Yes, it's growing tremendously in the last couple of years.
Just had an outpouring of support for the Saddle Tramps.
Oh, I should mention them.
Yes.
Can I ask you, who were some of the big donations, some of the big co-sponsors you brought in, some of the guys that kicked a few bucks in? Anybody you want to mention on the air here, sir?
Certainly San Diego Harleys and Kennedy's Custom Cycles for all the years.
That wasn't a plug for me, brother. I meant the other guys. Thank you, though. Question, though. Is
yes.
New York Mike going to ride up with us this year or ride up with you this year? Or has he got another appointment? Do you know what's going on there?
I'm not really sure on that. Mike's a really good guy.
You guys almost every year up with us.
Yeah, we kind of we try to get him to ride with us if he's not dedicated to something else. And, you know, he does a lot for the community, too. So so we try and get him to ride with us and are very honored to have any one of you guys ride with us at any time, you know. This is an open event. It's for all bikes. We collect up a $10 donation and the blankets and the socks and stuff, and all the proceeds go either to Brother Benno's or St. Vincent de Paul's.
I have a question or a suggestion, though. If New York Mike rides up, please drive very slow. He's a very old person, you know, so he can't take the high speeds anymore. I'll hear that for sure.
Yeah, he's going point.
Yeah. How'd you guys get hooked up first with San Diego Harley-Davidson? Do you know the story how that started?
I really don't. I've been with the Pioneers I've been with the Pioneers for about 10 years, and I wasn't around when this thing was conceived. But I tell you what, the support that we get from you and from San Diego Harley is just tremendous. The past couple of years, it's been averaging about 300 bikes. We buy about 300 run pins, and they're gone. You know, they're just gone pretty quick. San Diego Harley, and we run a really safe, and for Mike's and everybody else's benefit, a really slow kind of paced ride all the way up. We have, it's really organized. We do a great job at it, and patting ourselves on the back, and hopefully we'll do a good job at it this year, too.
John, our purpose is, again, is to collect blankets and socks, but we're asking for all types of clothing. We'll take everything you can give, but the blankets and socks are important. So we give a blanket out to the homeless people and some dry socks for the next day. That's so, so critical. The reason I'm involved with this is you guys, the messengers and the pioneers, you're always out there giving the message. But what I invite a lot of my friends who don't really want to join this type of bike club or that type of bike club because they are clean and sober. This allows them a chance to meet you guys informal, to walk up and talk to you. I think that's so outstanding because I get such great rapport afterwards. Hey, Bill, those people were really stand up. They weren't phony, pretentious. They were good people. This is how I want to live my life. So for that, Screwdriver Nev, give all the kudos in the world. I'm proud to say I don't drink. I don't have a problem with that at all. Screwdriver's not drinking either. You make your own choices. We're Americans. You make your own choices of what you want to do. I would never, in my opinion, want to have a drink because somebody says, oh, have a drink. No. What I like about you guys is, again, you accept people in, but you don't, like, religiously beat them up. Stop it. However, what you're saying is, if you like our lifestyle, come over and talk to us. Is that somewhat fair, John?
I'm sorry, what?
What else would you like to spread about your organization, sir? Anything about the club that you can tell that won't get you locked up with the DEA and all that stuff? Tell us, anything you want to tell us, sir?
Everybody that's with the Pioneers and the Messengers have went through probably a pretty rigorous deal just to get their patch. You know, it's not just handed over just because you haven't had a drink in 4 days. And it's kind of our, I can't speak for the Messengers, but I know for the Pioneers, it's a prerequisite to put that patch on your back is to just stay clean and sober. And like you said, if you're interested in that lifestyle, if you see what we're doing and you like it, we invite
Betsy,
you to
say
come
something,
in.
Please?
Sure.
John, hang on a second. Betsy, you want to make a comment?
No, a comment was made to me, and I explained what I was doing. Sorry.
Okay. John, I know you're in a little bit of a hurry. Did you want to talk a little longer? Because I said you said you had to leave. Did you want to leave right away?
I gotta get heading out the door. I'm going to a choir Christmas choir practice. Or a Christmas choir show actually. And I gotta get out the door. I got people waiting on me. But I really appreciate you inviting me on the show. And I want to publicly thank you for all that you do for us for the last 15 years, and Mike as well. So thank you very much, and hope to see you guys out at San Diego Harley. Registration's at 9 a.m. We try to get the kickstands up about 11:30 and right up to Bill Kennedy's place up in Oceanside. And there we got food and music and raffle prizes and vendors, and we just try and make it a bit of a party while we're doing something good for somebody else.
John, you did a good job. Thank you very much. You sound credible and believable. Thank you for that. John, I'll see you this weekend, okay?
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. John Del Santo, are you still there? I want to go back to you, that issue we were talking about, if you don't mind, please.
Yes, I am still here. What was your question?
We're going back. Well, let me tell you about, let me ask you, what is the direction, and I don't know if you touched there or not, of next year? What is a Bates direction they want to focus on?
Well, we take things as they come along in the order of, you know, what is going to be harmful for us, what is going to be good for us. Right now, there's nothing huge. We'll probably have another helmet bill. The one that we had last year, we just didn't have the, we knew we couldn't get one passed. Okay, well, we've been working on getting new support from different politicians, because our Doug Finley, who is our working with us now, he's really good at getting politicians to see what we need, and we supported, oh, I forget the number right offhand, we supported quite a few politicians in this last election, and like better than half of them that we supported got in. So that's going to be, the helmet bill will surely go in. I haven't heard that yet, but I know it's going to happen.
That was a good move by him, even though, you know, he moved out here from Virginia, but he brought all his knowledge with him, and we're using it.
Right.
John, I respect you a lot. You know that I've always thought you were a friend. I like your wife better than I like you, but that's understandable. So I'll ask you a question. I don't mean to blindside you. If you wish to do a little research on it and get back to me later, that's fine. So think about it and tell me how you feel about answering this question. Okay, sir?
Okay, go for it.
SB 435.
Yes.
I've been asked by people, did Abate go full guns to fight it, or did Abate soft pedal it, soft shoe it, neutral position, just kind of roll with the punches? How strong, and people have asked me this here, you can do some research, you want to get back to me, how strong do you think?
I can answer that. Okay.
I don't want
to We went full throttle all the way out. We generated 36,000 petitions and letters to kill the bill, okay? And like Doug Finley also said, you know, we should have had more politicians on our side. But like I said, we got 36,000 petitions and letters sent in to the different assembly people and Senate people. Now, what that ended up being, Pavley, who was the woman who put the bill up, she recognized that there was no way she was going to get it through the way it was. It wasn't going to happen. And so our lobbyist had a meeting with her, and she agreed to change a lot of it. In other words, change it to 2013. Instead of 2011, you know, this thing would have gone in last week if it hadn't been changed. All motorcycles manufactured before 2013 are now grandfathered in. They don't count unless they want to buy an aftermarket muffler in 2013. It started out as being a $300 ticket, and they knocked it down to a $25 fix-it ticket. It started out going to have points on your license, and it's down to no points, no smog check, no decibel testing. Okay, so all of that was taken off of the bill, and under the condition, Pavley said, under the condition, we will take all of this off of the bill if Abate agrees to go neutral on it. In other words, not promoting it publicly and not knocking it down publicly. All of our members could still write all the letters they want and do whatever they want. But Abate as a whole, if Abate agreed to go neutral on it, then they would take all of this stuff off of the bill, which is what happened. It's, you know, and anybody who's saying that Abate soft-pedaled it, don't know what the hell they're talking about.
John, what you said is so critical. A lot of people don't understand the big picture. And I would like to, I believe we're close enough friends, I can ask you questions that you'll give me the correct answer on. I'm hoping some of the people that ask me these questions understand it, because that was a lot. I will try to repeat what I can. But I'm hoping as time goes on, based out of our friendship, you'll be able to take direct questions. Give me your honest opinion on that, John.
Oh, yeah, I always try. You know me. Now,
I got a question for you, John.
Hey, let me just a second. Let me finish one more
John,
thing.
John, be careful
that.
Here.
Okay.
John, I got a question for you.
Okay, let me finish this one last piece. At the
sure,
point that we had that meeting, it appeared that there was going to be no way we were going to be able to kill the bill outright. So Jim Lombardo, our lobbyist, suggested that we recommended to go with the negotiated neutral position, so we could end up, cutting all of that stuff out of it. But that's okay. Screwdriver, your question is.
Okay, my question is: have you ever heard of anybody getting a ticket? You know, on Harleys, you got to start and let them warm up for a couple of minutes before you take off in 30-degree weather. Have you ever heard of anybody getting a ticket standing 5 feet away from their bike for an unattended motorcycle while it was warming up?
Huh?
Now, the ticket is for what?
An unattended motorcycle while it was warming up. The guy was standing 5 feet away from it.
I have never heard that, no.
Okay.
I can't see why that would.
I'm looking at a ticket right now.
I've heard of it here either.
I'm looking at a ticket right now. The code, John, if you got a pen, you can write it down. I'd like you to. I did some research on it, but all I got was it talked more about a car. It didn't say anything about a motorcycle.
Okay,
but the vehicle code is 22515 Alpha.
Does it say?
Guys, I don't recall. I didn't know about this, and I've not read the DMV book, but I recall years ago an unattended vehicle running is a safety issue. It could miraculously go into gear and take off. I remember that from the 70s or the 80s. However, I'm not familiar with this aspect
of it. It's written as it's written as an infraction. Or I'm holding. I mean, Bill, right? I'm looking at the
first time
right.
I'm seeing it. Yeah,
yes, I'm looking.
I was telling you what I remember from the old days and all that.
It
was a safety issue.
Yeah.
Any unattended vehicle running is a violation. But I've not heard that for 20, 30 years. But I'm not off.
But when the guy went and talked to a sergeant about it, he had to have two guys look it up, or two other women policemen look it up, and they couldn't find it.
Yeah, well, I'm as we speak, I'm looking it up. So
It says right here, unattended motorcycle.
Oh, he wrote it as motorcycle.
She wrote it as
written in the code book
as
motor vehicle. You could get it thrown out on that alone, possibly.
No, well, motorcycle is a motor vehicle in California.
Well,
okay.
John, I think
the distance would be
it
would get the ticket thrown out. 5 feet would not consider a safety problem.
I can't see where 5 feet would,
That's within arm's reach.
She did. She chased him. She had somebody else stop him 2.5 miles from there and went there and gave him the ticket.
Ooh.
Where they had him pulled over, she pulled up, got out of the car, and gave him the ticket. And when he asked her, 2.5 miles away, you mean you had somebody pull me over to get you to so you could come and do this? And she said yes.
I wonder what her real motive was.
He's a friend of mine.
No, but I wonder what her real motive was.
Because he's a friend of mine.
See,
oh,
Betsy, that's why I never say I'm a friend of Screwdriver.
Okay.
Okay,
she really had to dig to find that one, huh?
Yeah, she pulled that one out of a hat.
Yeah, wow.
Even the guy the kid went and talked to, he said he couldn't believe she wrote that bullshit.
Hey, Philip.
But, yes.
Hey, now, California DMV website, okay, vehicle code 22515A, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The answer is it says your search, 22515A, did not match any documents. No pages were found containing 22515A.
That's what I thought.
Okay, so if they put the wrong number, well, it
mm-hmm.
can be way. There's no, now 22515, okay, 22515 unattended vehicles. Okay, hold on.
Well, while you're doing that, John, I got another caller I'm going to bring in. You'll know who this is when you hear his voice.
Yeah.
Hello, Mark. Is that you?
Sure is. How you doing, Phil?
Good. How you doing, man? Did you hear what I said about this? You hear what I said about this unattended motorcycle?
I sure did.
Yep. I'm looking at the ticket right here.
Yeah, 22515A, no person driving or in control of or in charge of a motor vehicle shall permitted to stand on any highway unattended without first effectively setting the brakes thereon and stopping the motor thereof.
Yeah.
So,
well, it was backed into the curb on an incline. He started it up, standing next to it, proceeded to walk 5 feet, got on the, let her warm up for 5 minutes, got on the bike, drove 2.5 miles, and she had somebody else pull him over so she could come and give him the ticket. 15 minutes later.
Wow.
15 minutes.
What's the date? When was the ticket written?
On the 28th of November.
Well, what's sad is that I'm just now hearing about it.
Well, I just got it in my hand. Today.
All right.
Got it in my hand. I'll send you a copy of it, but I just got it in my hand today.
Okay, cool. You know, there's so many vehicle code laws that were written specifically for cars, and that they enforce on motorcycles. Pretty sad. Pretty absolutely sad. A lot of stuff they do with the intention of making it safer for cars actually makes it less safe for motorcycles. You know, the grooves on the road is supposed to wash that, let the water drain off and all that stuff. Very, very dangerous. The metal plates when they're doing work on the road so that the car doesn't fall in the hole. Yeah.
Mm.
Metal plates make it very, very unsafe for motorcycles. It's a vehicle code mostly written for motorcycles, and the roads are mostly designed for, or excuse me, vehicle code mostly written for cars, and the roads are mostly designed for cars. So, have you seen the Sacramento Bee front page? I think it was today.
No, I haven't.
Front page story, Sacramento. Almost 100% of the tickets being written lately, the
uh-huh.
police are not going to court. They are not going to court.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Maybe they stopped giving them overtime.
Well, it could be. It's very likely. I didn't read the story because it was the Sacramento Bee, and at the time, all I was looking at was somebody's paper copy, and the Sacramento Bee will not only get your fingers dirty, but it'll infect your mind, and I don't want to get sick.
There you go.
But, we lovingly refer to it as the BS around here. I will look it up on the Internet. You know, I don't know if you want to talk about that now, but it's historically, at any given point in time, when a ticket is written, the police officer has about a 40 to 60% chance of showing up in court for the trial. So why wouldn't anybody, first of all, I'm assuming that person who got that BS parking ticket is going to fight that?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes, I don't think she's going to go. I think she just gave it to him to take time out of his day to go there and sit, you know?
Just to bust daggies.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, Philip?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because it says unattended, but that all falls down to now, what does unattended mean?
Right.
You know, I mean, would it, if if I step out of my car to wash my windshield, is my car unattended? You know, it's
right.
I'm going through the dictionary now, and I can't right offhand. I can't find them. There it is, unattended. Okay.
Just so you know, John, that's Mark Temple. That's John Delfano. Nah, Betsy's on the other line.
I recognize John's voice. And Betsy.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, that point I was starting to make about the everything being written for the car. The car, you cannot set the brakes on the motorcycle, can you? How do you set the brakes?
Some certain apps you can. I know the Honda Goldwings you can.
The Can-Ams, the trikes, those have emergency brakes you can set. So don't roll down the hill.
That person have brakes to set on that vehicle that the ticket was written to?
No. That's the $64,000 question.
Yeah.
We have to remember too, in every single truck yard, those semis are running and running and running and running.
Well, I got
that.
I hate to tell you guys, but when they get out and write you the ticket, the car's running while they're standing.
Please
don't
run. They never shut the stuff down.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You watch any cruiser that goes in for donuts or anything, they sit out and they leave the cruiser running for 15, 20 minutes unattended. So what is this? Don't do as I do as I say?
Yeah, that's
Woman's
kind of anal that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I got an email from Paul today, out of Paul Cote,
mm-hmm.
and they just got your Survivors Fund, Massachusetts Psycho Survivors Fund, just got their hoodies with the dot sticker on the back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting one of those.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
I'm talking about just wearing
just
the hoodie.
Get the hoodie.
Just get the hoodie with the dot sticker on it and try that and see how that goes.
Try that and see where that gets you. Mark, that's right up your alley.
My alley is quite large, if you know what I mean.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I know a lot of people pigeonhole me into the helmet thing, but... it's a great pigeonhole to be in. It's the helmet fight is the gateway drug to knowing all of your rights.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a simple concept that anybody can get it. It's such a simple fight in a court that anybody can do it. And what it does is it's like playing football. It's like playing sports in high school. It teaches so many life lessons that can be learned and applied in so many other places. It's great. Helmet fights are awesome. I mean, if I was in Delaware, they got a helmet law says you gotta have a helmet on your bike, attached to your bike. You don't have to wear it, but you have to have one with you. Yeah, I mean,
right.
That's a helmet law. I'd be fighting that sucker.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, you know, whatever. Name me some laws that do make sense. I mean, most of them don't, right? So
true.
The point is that we've gone. So when the basis for our fight is the Declaration of Independence was talking against exactly this kind of crap 300 years ago.
Right.
And then here we are again.
Right.
Here we are again. Exactly the same things that people whine about today were on the list. If you ever read the entire Declaration of Independence, the center section, the middle part is a laundry list of things that the king was doing to his slaves. I mean, subjects. We would call it a citizen in this day and age. But what the government was doing to its citizens was absolutely abhorrent, and it was against the laws of nature and against the rules that God created for humans. So, I mean, any atheist should love that kind of talk because it frees him up. but that whole list of stuff, I mean, everybody right now is talking about that same kind of stuff, what the king is doing without, you know, arrests without warrants, blah, 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 on and on. It's exactly what we're talking about anywhere you hear a current complaint about government today.
Right.
Why? Because we've forgotten where we came from and why we're here. So the whole point of I apologize, but oh, I'm on a soapbox. I just realized.
No, go for it. I'm getting educated.
the whole point of this little flurry of stuff is that any, whether you're talking motorcycles or not, any kind of an education to keep yourself from being abused by government must begin with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. That's where all the Constitution is, where all laws are authorized to be written in our place by people that we elect. And the police can't do anything without first having what they're doing be authorized by law. I can do anything
right.
I want, whether there's, it doesn't have to be a law saying I can do it. They have to have
right.
a law written saying they can do it. So it's really, if we know the benefits that our Constitution, as written, allow, it allows a limited government, which means that's why our current national administration, they claim they don't necessarily like the Constitution because it's a constitution of negative liberties. Oh, yeah. If you're coming
yeah.
from the standpoint of the government, looking at all those subjects that need to be controlled, yeah, it is a document of negative liberties. Absolutely is. That's why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let me jump in here for a second, please. I want to ask you a question. I know you're up in the Sacramento area. Do you think that the younger riders today are concerned that their rights are being taken away slowly, or do you think that by assimilation they're waking up one day and they're sitting there accepting it? Do you feel an undercurrent of people getting angry what's going on, or they're just accepting it?
Well, I think historically that's typical. Younger, to fully appreciate history, you have to have one of your own. to fully appreciate the changes that are taking place you don't like, you first have to live long enough to see some change. That's why you find guys that are, it's rare to find anybody, it's always been kind of rare to find anybody in a fight for their rights that's under 30.
Right.
Just not to interrupt you, during the Vietnam War. Yeah. But not to interrupt you guys, but I just want to let you know that right now, we have 79 people listening in the Netherlands. We have 171 people listening in Russia. We have 245 people listening in Germany. We have 504 people listening from the United Kingdom. We
wow.
have 658 wow. people listening from South Korea. Australia, we have 1,003 people. Denmark, we have 1,335. In France, we have 1,377. Canada, we have 1,407. The United States, we're sitting at 18,083 people right now tuned in, listening.
Hey, y'all.
We also have Russia, France, Argentina, and Brazil.
Well, I want you to credit to the maximum. Please tell us how many people from Russia are listening to us.
Right now we have 171.
171 from Russia. Well, good for those Russians. This goes back to the points I've made many times, and I hope you guys can elaborate on this.
Even the Czech Republic, Bill, not to interrupt, we have...
More people coming.
We have 63
okay.
people
keep it rolling
in there.
Unless you're done there, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I got one for Philip.
Brazil, we have 57. Belgium, we have 58. Go ahead, John.
Okay. I just emailed this to you, Philip, so whoever got that ticket, you can give this to them to take to court. On the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language, unattended is, there's three definitions for it. Not
mm-hmm.
being
I'm looking
attended,
at it right now.
Not being attended to, looked after, or watched.
Aha, uh-huh, there's another, your key word.
Right. Number two is having no attendance, such as unattended gasoline pumps. Or number three is not being paid attention to or listened to. So what happened with that person with their Harley? None of those three would apply to it. So, I mean, the thing was attended, even if the person was standing three feet away from it. And I did send that to you on an email.
Yeah, I got it.
We're reading that, John.
We're reading it right now. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
This goes back to what we were talking about. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a paralegal. All you have to be is acknowledge the fact that you're American in America, and your responsibility to know your rights. Why we have to deal with people over and over that say, oh, there's other people out there, such as some of our guests tonight. They say, well, let those people deal with it. I tell everybody, listen to me, who's not a lawyer or paralegal, you have responsibility to know what your rights are in America. You are an American riding on American street.
I would, one of the things that we do with Bikers of Lesser Tolerance is we teach people how to write to the police and have a request for discovery. I would ask certain questions of the police related to parking. And it's great, John, that you brought up the definition. First place that we go to when we're talking about an arrest such as that, and that was an arrest, first place we go to, the arrest was written out of the traffic law book. So first place you go to is you look for definitions in the front part of the vehicle code book.
And well, what comes into question is the fact that she had somebody pull him over 2.5 miles away from her. She showed up 15 minutes later to write that ticket.
Well, so you don't have a witness to the... First of all, if that's true, you do not have a witness to the infraction.
No, she said she saw it because he asked her that. He said, you mean you waited 15 minutes, 2.5 miles to come and give me this ticket? And she said, yes. That's why I had him pull you over and hold you here for me.
Okay, so it's a police officer that saw the incident, and then he or she radioed ahead to another police officer to pull her over later on.
Right, 15 minutes, yeah.
Okay,
he pulled him over, he left,
officer,
he was gone about 5 minutes. The guy pulled in behind him, hit him with the lights, had him sit on the bike, no kickstand, just sit on the bike, wait for her to get there, and then that's when she proceeded to ask him for all his information and wrote the ticket.
Okay, so why would a person sit there for 15 minutes? You know, that's not constitutional.
Because he didn't know any better. He knows now, but he didn't know then.
Got it.
He knows now.
So the guy that got the ticket is a male, and the person who wrote the ticket is a female?
Yes, that's that bullseye guy.
So he was actually unlawfully detained for 15 minutes.
Yes.
I'm sure it had nothing to do with the fact that he hollered, hey, nice ass, when he drove by her.
Oh.
I know, if you've seen her, she's a bull dyke.
I've got something for about 1 minute if you got a space.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. David Stillwell is a Bolt member from Las Vegas. He has put together a short program called Guerrilla Lawfare, showing how to know and protect your Fourth Amendment rights, which deals
with... Oh,
well,
John, let me jump in right... Just first of all, complete accuracy, Guerrilla Lawfare is another organization.
Really?
Guerrilla Lawfare is an organization similar to Bolt, but not just for motorcyclists. It's for any motorist or any citizen. So it's the Fourth Amendment...
What I wanted to mention was that I've been studying on this from David, and for anybody around the San Diego area, on January 2nd, after our abate meeting in Kate Sessions Park, I'm going to do about a half an hour on this guerrilla lawfare. So if anybody's interested, they can stop down there, you know, like noon on January 2nd at Kate Sessions Park.
Shoot me that in an email, John, and I'll put it on the blog.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a great...
Get it to me, too, and I'll put it out there in Bike a Bits.
Yeah, because right now we just had today, just for matter of fact, today we had 26,127 hits on the blog.
Excellent.
Well, I don't even
know
what...
It's originally a PowerPoint slideshow that Guerrilla Lawfare has, and it focuses on your Fourth Amendment rights, because that's basically the first thing that goes away when you don't when you get pulled over and you don't realize any of your rights, it's the Fourth Amendment that is the first in time of the violations that happen. So and just like anything in court, like, you know, Phil's had some court cases as a Bolt member, and you know that just like in court, if the court violates some rule and you don't say something like, "Hey, I object to that," it's as if you're agreeing to it. So
right.
Just any other situation with a police officer, if you don't know your rights, you might as well not have them.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard about, you know, in Australia right now, they're going to vote on it, but they're trying to take away a person's right to remain silent with impunity after being arrested will be effectively abolished under a police campaign to be taken through the next state election, which is after the first of the year. Instead of what a person says being used against them in court, police say a person's refusal to speak should also be able to be used against them in some circumstances.
Now, that's interesting. Well, that's because they took their guns away already, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's it came up in a thread where it said anyone reading the thread who needs a gun in Australia will find that crime in Australia has not substantially decreased as the government claims since the firearm ban. Now their national police are campaigning to take away the right to remain silent. They want it abolished. That's for the Senate after the first of the year over there.
So I wonder how long it'll take that idea to come here and be taken seriously by.
Exactly.
They're watching it already. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Hey, John has to sign off.
Okay, John. Thank you.
Hi, John.
Welcome. Bye.
Tell a friend, please. Tell us said Merry Christmas. All right, brother?
Will do. You too, Bill. Bye.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Goodbye, Bill.
You know, I think the next time I got to ask him another question about John Del Santo. A lot of these Christian bikers that come in my shop, they say I'm a work in progress, but they all want to know why a bait has runs on Sunday when they're in church.
Right.
And why doesn't the bait do events on Saturday? That's something I'll address that next week with him.
Right.
These Christians want to get more active, but they, you know.
Douglas, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I just brought you in.
I
got a little carried away looking things up to talk about, but you're in now. And we have Mark Temple on the phone from Sacramento. John Del Santo just hung up. He had something to do. And Betsy's on the line from Boston.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I missed John, but thank you very much for including me in there. After hearing all those kind of numbers you're talking about from people listening, I figure I must have been about 2,083 on the list.
No. But I try and give everybody their chance to speak, and when we do that, we find out that we learn as we listen.
Well, I'm happy to report I finally got myself one of those smartphones, so I was actually able to find your website, press the button, and it dialed for me. And I mean, here I am, without a single teenager to help me do it.
Wow.
You got to use your phone.
No, I'm still learning.
You know, regarding this ticket, I'd like to ask you, we've got the basics, but we have some people pretty smart on the phone. Is there anything that you'd like to add about what happened? Was there anything said before? Anything that would have led the police officer just to come after you on this bogus ticket?
No. There was nothing. She was just parked across the street watching,
mm-hmm.
and somebody walked up and was talking to her, and he started up the bike.
Mm-hmm.
He went and said hello and goodbye, you know, and all that, and he got on the bike and he left. Next thing he knows, he's going down. He's at Mission and El Camino down the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
The guy pulls in front of him. He stops him. While he's talking to him, he tells him, "We're going to wait for the officer." So 15 minutes go by. She had to zigzag around town to get to him.
Well, that sounds like a dumb, dumb write-up.
Exactly. She was fishing for that one. Because when he went, I told you when he went and talked to the sergeant, he rode back down there and talked to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris told him, I don't even know what she wrote that under. So he had two other female women, patrolmen, look it up for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with the same thing, 22/515 Alpha, unattended.
One of the more interesting things that might help now. So this was probably going to go to arraignment at the end of December, or what? When's the arraignment day on the ticket?
February 10th at
February.
February 10th. Yeah, February 10th at, I think it's 9:00. It's kind of faded, but I'll have to darken it up so when I send it to you, you can read it.
Well, okay, so you got all the time in the world. Here's what we could do. The Secretary of State's office, you may or may not be able to get this online with the Secretary
mm-hmm.
of State's office, but in the vehicle code, at the bottom of every law, well, I'm looking here, not every, I'm looking at this law 22515. At the bottom it says amended and chaptered, chapter 362, effective January 1987. So it tells you it was written in 1986 and chaptered
mm-hmm.
in chapter 362. So that is where it can be found as a bill before it became law. What you can do is find out, in the 90s, they began writing legislative intent into the law itself. Before that, the legislative intent was left in the chaptered information in the Secretary of State's office. So what you can do is find out exactly the legislative intent for 22515. And I will bet you a hamburger at your favorite burger place that
okay.
this has nothing to do with motorcycles.
No, I don't think so either, Mark. I think she was just fishing for something. And then when you go to court, they're probably, you know, when he goes to court, they're probably going to have to research that one to figure out what it is.
Yeah. They
barely read. You can,
may get
you
laughed
can ask Bill there, man. You, the way she wrote this, you can barely read. It's like unattended, and then she wrote above. She wrote above unattended. I can't make out the words. And then where it says description, she has that blacked out. And then above that, there's a couple of letters. Looks like a little two words, and then that's written right above motorcycle.
Okay. What they'll say first of all, you know, like John was started to do, go for the dictionary definitions. The dictionary is not really the first place to look. Like I was saying before, you go to the section in the beginning part of the vehicle code has the definitions. That are words used in the vehicle code. It doesn't have every word, but the words that it does have that you can use, like parking, is defined in the vehicle code. So it doesn't matter what Webster's dictionary says. When parking is one of the words that's being defined,
right.
Included
well,
in
like,
the
how do you set a parking brake on it? You know, there is none.
So when that definition is in the vehicle code, you use the definition in the vehicle code, not Webster's. Webster's is only is the last place you look. So in other words, what's the next place you look? If it's not in the vehicle code, then you look to Black's Law. Get my Black's Law right here, which is basically it is you'd call it a lawyer's dictionary. But what's the just for the sake of grins.
Mm-hmm.
What was the word that John looked up?
Unattended.
He looked unattended.
Yeah, you guys talk while I look that up in the Black's Law.
Sure.
I got a question.
Talk to us, little girl.
Okay. Curious about, let's say, a ticket that you get where the officer puts the wrong time on the ticket. Does that negate the offense?
Well,
I've gotten several
tickets, and I've had
a ticket thrown up for a typo.
Yeah, the ticket is the offense. The ticket is the complaint. So if the officer writes it for, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, and you were at work at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was actually 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then and you can prove that you were not there at the time when he says that the offense
that's
was...
That's the key. That's the minute. You have to be able to prove it.
Well, that's exactly what happened to me. I was coming home from our hard party, and I got stopped for going through a red light. It wasn't red. There was a box truck in front of me that I had an obstructed view. I couldn't see the light. He started into the intersection, and then he took off, and here I am in the middle of the intersection, and the light's yellow. And next thing I know, I get pulled over, and I knew he was going to give me a ticket, so I just kept my mouth shut. And he gave me the ticket, and I looked at it later, and I said, oh, my God, this happened at 10:48 at night. He's got it at 12:42 in the afternoon when I was at work.
Beautiful. Well, there's
as long as you can prove it.
You probably got 15 people that'll testify that it couldn't have happened.
Yeah, because
I sure do. I've got customers. I've got my secretary.
Ralph,
I mean, I've got my
insurance.
Call log at work. I'm sure I can come up with several more people that will attest that I was there.
The main thing you got to do is challenge it in the first place, because so many people just write a check and throw it in the mail.
Oh,
and
no, that was the
it.
First thing I did. I turned it over and I signed I want a hearing and sent it
I've gotten 8 helmet tickets, and I beat every single one of them, and my magic defense is showing up in court.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like I had book knowledge or a lawyer or anything like that. Just every time I showed up, you know, it was a lot of different jurisdictions. So actually 2 times I did have the benefit of Tom McGrath's law team. I don't know if you guys have heard of Tom McGrath or not. He's the guy who fought and won the South Carolina Myrtle Beach helmet law. But I had him representing me a couple times in Virginia, and, you know, he just makes mincemeat out of the arresting officer. But the rest of the time, I just showed up, and the officer never showed up, and they, you know, they ended up throwing it out.
Well, I heard there's a percentage of, like, 45% of the time the officers don't show up.
Yeah, and when that's happened, it's up to the judge, and I guess it's up to the law, too, but half of the time, the judge will say, okay, let's set a new date, and then you got to come back again. And then the other half of the time, they just throw it out. They just say, you know what, if he doesn't have the time to come, then I'm not going to bother with it either.
Can't do that here. Now, unless you don't object, if you don't object, when trial date and the officer's not there, that must be dismissed because there is no witness that witnessed the crime or the offense.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was me, they try to set, well, unless I really wanted to go through a trial. The last time I went to, the second to the last time I went to one, I actually not allow a continuance because I was just too busy. I already had 2 other tickets going on at the same time, and I'm busy in school. But normally what I would do is allow the continuance. But in this case, since I was already busy and the officer's not there, we're ready for a trial, officer's not there, they want a continuance. I said, no, I'm objecting to the continuance because actually you don't even need to give a reason. No,
right,
I just don't
you're
want.
There.
And they can't. Not
now, I have to admit, I moved to California in May, and I have yet to get a ticket here, but I've been riding pretty much at will without a helmet for about 4 years now, and only the first year did I get those 8 tickets. I have not gotten one since. It's just because I'm, you know, I learn and adapt. So I'm still riding around without a helmet on, but I'm a whole lot better at not getting tickets for it.
Yeah, it's worth it, isn't it? I mean,
I love riding, especially passing a pack of motorcyclists coming down the 5 or going up 163. I'll see about 8 or 10 bikes, and I'll just go cruising right on by without a helmet, and they get this look on their face like, "Hey, that's not fair." Well, yeah, it is.
You Yeah,
it is.
He's going to look at me like, hey, idiot, you forgot your helmet. I'm looking back at him like, hey, idiot, I know it's not there.
You say, hey, idiot, you forgot your rights.
Exactly.
But, you know, I tell you what, you know, freedom is what you make of it. It's just like, you know, the very principle that I know that Phil and Bill are behind is if you do not exercise your rights, then you forfeit them. That's the way I look at life. You know, I only get one chance to live, and I'm doing it now.
Right.
So you had said earlier you had little or no contact with the officer, and Screwdriver and I try to tell people over and over, do not let the officer write little notes in about the incident. Have this as non-descriptive as possible so he cannot remember anything.
Right. That's...
If the cop writes notes, he'll be more inclined to show up in court.
Right.
You say,
That's why I kept my mouth shut. I didn't want to give him any fuel for the fire.
The best thing.
And then you're right. And then one of the nice things to do when you ask for the discovery at about arraignment time, you ask the police to, one of the things we always ask for, standard, is the notes. If you made some, and generally they do make notes,
mm-hmm.
but you'll never know it if you don't ask for it.
Right, I got mine when they did that. They did that stuff to me. I got all the notes, and they happened to send me the original copy of the tape instead of a copy.
Yeah, and there's a place on the back of the policeman's copy of the ticket specifically made for writing notes. So you get to see that.
If it's possible, I would like to make one tiny little plug and a comment relative to getting tickets and laws and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
go for it.
I greatly appreciate it because I know, you know, you guys are speaking to a whole lot of people, and I really want to take advantage of that.
I was kind of floored right now when we looked and we got the Czech Republic. We've got 32 people in Czechoslovakia listening to us right now. So we must be doing
wow.
Well, everybody's talking. Look up, see if there's any country with one person, will you? While you guys are talking, get back to us on that. I'm curious if there's a country with one person listening.
Yeah, but what's your plug?
Please, I'm sorry, Colin.
All right.
What's the plug?
My name is Douglas, and I have a website called RideToRepeal.com, and what we do is we go all the way upstream from getting a ticket. We go all the way to creating lawmakers. This is where the philosophy is that if you have bad lawmakers, you end up with bad laws. So what we do is we just simply get involved during the elections, whether they're special elections or the general election. We find candidates that support your right to decide, and then we give them volunteers. We get out there and we put in signs, we, you know, hang flyers on doors, et cetera. Because if there's no helmet law, there's no helmet law to enforce. So what we're doing is we're just basically going all the way upstream instead of trying to duke it out with the officer on the street. Now, the website.
I know which is now. I know which Douglas you are now.
Yeah. anyway, that's the spelling of the website address is the word ride, RIDE. The number
if you go,
two.
Not to interrupt you, Doug, but if you go in the blog, it's on my friend's column.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's RIDE. The number two, and then the word repeal. .com. And if you go there, you know, there's nothing but election news and how we can connect campaign volunteers to biker-friendly candidates, and that way we'll get a legislative majority. And I am sure any country that's listening, if you have legislators, however they get elected, this is the same simple process. You help the guys who are already your friends.
Right.
Help them get elected. And you know, you can read the law, and you can read the Constitution, and you can read the Bill of Rights, and that's really important to do. I taught my kids that. But those guys, those politicians that are in power, those mannycrats, what they did was they used our system against us to get power. Well, what we're doing is we're using their system against them to knock them out of office.
I just put that up in the chat room for you.
And if you've got a Twitter account, as soon as I know about an election anywhere, I send out a tweet on it, and my Twitter name is just Ride to Repeal, RIDE, the number 2, and repeal. So if you follow that, you will get election news as it breaks.
And
anyway,
just to touch
so
on Bill, what Bill was talking about, we have one person listening in Japan and New Zealand. We know
one person in New Zealand.
We
we know that.
We know who that
we
is.
We know the one person from New Zealand.
Exactly. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for the time to make that plug. And, you know, I will say this. I've been pulled over a lot more times than I've gotten tickets. It really pays to be the most pleasant, easygoing person that officer has ever met. It really helps.
We like to inject here. I've told everybody, from the moment you are stopped, for the first 30 to 45 seconds, you have to be in charge. You have to control the situation, control the volume. You have to control with knowledge. You have to get that policeman to relax. You cannot be saying, F this, blah, 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 blah. Same way you can't say, good afternoon, officer, how you doing? That's all bullshit, too. He knows that. So it's your responsibility to be educated in your rights. It's your responsibility when the policemen pull you over. We have to be in charge of the situation. That's how I feel about
my
that
mantra,
strongly.
My
you
mantra,
want to touch on that one, Mark?
To being pulled over, my mantra on that is, I do not consent, but I will not resist.
You want to interject on that, Mark?
Yeah. Just like Guerrilla Lawfare is trying to teach on these DUI checkpoints and motorcycle-only checkpoints, Bolt has for motorcyclists, has been very successful in stopping all kinds of police action on the street that's been unconstitutional. Now, the way we do it is not to play nice. The way we've done it is to know your rights, learn their rules. It's sort of like what Douglas was saying about the legislature. You learn their rules and you beat them over the head with their own rules. Now, I don't care about, you know what, when I'm beating a cop over the head with his own rules, it doesn't feel nice to him. He's most likely to get upset that I am not being cooperative, what he defines as cooperative. So you can be as nice as you want. I had a lady pull me over, and I said, about 3 minutes into this, I was saying, hey, what, are you going to write me a ticket or what? She said, it depends on your attitude. So without going into the full story of that, the point being, why does my attitude determine whether I get a ticket or not? Shouldn't it be whether I did something illegal? If I did something illegal, should I get a ticket? Maybe. If I didn't do anything illegal, what does my attitude have to do with this?
Exactly.
So, the point being that, I mean, I know Bill, you're talking in very general terms, but it doesn't really necessarily teach anybody anything that they can use at the time they're being pulled over. What I would say is you got to learn something first, and then when you're pulled over, we focus on the wrongdoing of the cop and ask him questions about that. We need to learn how to focus in on what he's saying and show the ridiculousness of what he's doing and what he's saying and show how wrong it is, get information by recording the traffic stop, and thereby proving that he's out of his mind and he's not following the law.
That just goes like with what Tiger Lily did with that recording in Las Vegas with the four guys from the club. She has very pertinent questions, and you could tell the guy was tap dancing around him.
Absolutely. Once he realizes that what he says must be correct, then it puckers a little bit. You can even hear him puckering when he's doing the backpedaling, going, uh-oh, I really don't know what I'm talking about, so I better shut up. That's
right.
She asked him a question,
and he said, no, I'm not answering your question. And I didn't say it that way for you to understand it that way. You can understand it any way you want, but this is what we're doing.
I think the best approach depends on where you want to end up. If you want to end up proving the cop wrong, or if you want to end up winning a court case, then by all means be confrontational. But if you're like
me,
and you want to avoid taking it one step beyond, you know, thank you, officer, have a nice day. I don't have a ticket. I don't have a court date. I can proceed with my life. that's the approach I take.
Well, yeah. Now, Douglas, I can see a benefit to that on occasion, but for the most part, that does not prevent the next violation of rights. What that does is it makes me right away thinking, okay, what did I really accomplish? I'm riding away, but I could have been riding away anyway, even if I had gotten an invitation to the court to go prove that the cop didn't know what he was talking about. Now, an internal affairs complaint and a ticket and a court case has gotten me to the point where I got police officers that, I mean, whatever I'm doing on the street here, right around my, you know, and basically within 40 miles any direction of my house, police officers may or may not honk a little bit, like a little beep, and wave. Okay, now
and you earned
that.
It.
Well,
and,
yeah,
and you earned it.
Earned the respect. Now I don't, or the fear. Now I've said before, I don't care if it's fear or respect, but either way, they leave me alone.
I'd like to point out there are no two road stops that are the same. However, my theory is you do not explain or argue a case with the policeman. That's not his job. That's not your job. You take it to his commander. You take it to the courts. Do not waste
no
your valuable time on the side of the road
talking
with a cop.
Bill, no one is saying that you hold court right there on the street. No one is saying that. What I can be more specific, what you do with the recorder is when he asks you a question. Now, if he was going to arrest you, he wouldn't be asking questions because he already has the goods on you. If
right.
he's going to arrest you, that means he must have probable cause. So what you can be doing when he's asking you questions is turning it around and responding with another question to find. Because look, if he's conducting an investigation, I'd say your best bet is to conduct an investigation too. And why would you answer a question without a lawyer present? You ask him a question. You ask him a question, and if a police officer considers that confrontational, so be it. He lives in his own little world. I consider that smart.
Right.
Yeah, I can tell you tons of constitutional lawyers that will tell you never, never talk to police. Never. Don't answer questions.
No,
don't
no.
answer the question.
You know,
now,
you know how many times
can,
I've gotten
now,
out of a
I would
ticket
say,
without saying anything?
I would say
when
you answer
gentlemen, walking
answer,
over each other, one or the other, please.
I would say you answer a question with a question. Therefore, you are neither resisting anything. You are not saying, "Shut up, I'm not talking to you." You are non-confrontational. You're responding in a human way, and you're saying you're having a question, but I need to clarify. In essence, you're saying I'm clarifying your question. I need to ask you one.
Yes.
He says like the basic thing that Phil, I hear you saying constantly. Well, the cop says, "Where are you going?"
I'm going from point A to point B.
My answer would be, is there a place that I could be going where a crime is about to be committed? What are you searching for, officer?
Right.
Do you know of a crime that was committed where I just came from? Is there a problem? Now, that's a whole
right.
lot different. See, now, one time I was pulled over in my car in the past 15 years. Only one time. The guy... He said, license and registration. Now, that's not even a question. That's a statement. But I knew he wanted to ask me. He was asking for something. I knew. I'm a human being. I understand. I had my window down about a quarter of an inch. He said, license and registration. I said, what for? Oh,
I remember that.
Oh, and he was angry. Okay, I won't go into the whole thing, but he was really angry that I would challenge him with a question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so he said, because I asked for it. And I smiled and very politely said, oh, well, don't you have to have a reason to ask for it? The whole thing ended with no ticket, no arrest, no nothing, you know. And it was sort of an angry, the words were drive safely, but he didn't really mean that.
No.
Question his authority.
I've gotten out of two tickets without saying a word. I have this, if people who know me will clearly see this in my behavior, but I've been pulled over by police sitting there on my motorcycle. They walk up and say, "Why are you riding without a helmet?" And I look at them and I just smile as sweetly as I can, and it's a genuine smile. And I just kind of shrug my shoulders a little bit and look up at the sky like it's a beautiful day. And then they go, "Well, the next time, put on your helmet. Get the hell out of here." You know, and then they leave me alone. And I'm very happy. And then I go about my business. That's happened twice, not even saying a word.
Yeah,
gentlemen, I think we all agree on there are many techniques which you combine our style, our skill, and the different attitude of the officer. So there are many roads that lead to heaven. I just hope we're all on the right road.
The thing I'm getting good at now is avoiding getting pulled over in the first place. That's what I'm getting good at.
Well, they do take notes, Douglas, I think that's probably what you're finding is they run your plate, they get behind you, they run your plate, they kind of know, oh, it's that guy. They got notes on you.
They come over,
you know, and maybe they come up and actually talk to you to see if they can smell something on your breath or, you know. But, they have learned. You have taught them quite a bit, and I appreciate that.
You should see the look on her face when I tell them I'm an alcoholic and I don't drink.
I tell them I work for the federal government and I can't smoke. And by the way, I work for the Federal Aviation Administration, not any law enforcement, okay? Just in case anybody's wondering, it's all airplanes.
Yeah, I was about ready to hang up. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just a maintenance guy.
Well, you guys, I appreciate the time I spent. I didn't plan on this this time on your show tonight. I appreciate the time you gave me.
Hey, no problem.
I would like to ask you before you check out. I'd like to ask you one question, if you feel comfortable answering. Why did you get involved in this life? What led you to want to reach out and help other people?
What
did you
made
have
me want to?
Did something happen? What led you into this program?
You mean Bikers of Lesser Tolerance and Guerrilla Lawfare?
Just whenever you woke up one day and said, something's wrong, I got to do something. Was there a certain thing, or was it just a lot of things led up to something?
Well, the declaration of war on motorcyclists in 1992 in California with the helmet law was certainly part of that. I think it's how I was raised. I think it's we owe a lot to our society and to our way of to our Constitution. We owe a lot to our founding fathers and to our fellow citizens. We owe a lot to the military. It's a way of giving back. I mean, if we're so selfish that all we do is take. I don't do it out of selfishness, but if we were so selfish that all we do is take, then, you know, maybe one day it'd come around and bite you. What do they call it, karma?
Right.
That's not my motivation, but, you know, if someone needs fear to motivate them, then, you know, be afraid that someday there's going to be no one there to help you.
I'd like our legislators to start having some fear of us.
Best thing you can do is help yourself. Help yourself. You know, my ability and my willingness to help someone else, it can't go 100% as far as they may want it. Like with Philip, he certainly, you know, didn't get everything that I could have gave him because I can't. I'm not a licensed attorney. So, but the one thing that I definitely do with people is, I tell them, you've got to educate yourself. They are individual rights that only you can defend yourself when you're out there on the street with a cop trying to take them away. You've got to know your own rights and defend your own individual rights. But if you're not free, I'm not free. So I want you to be free. It helps all of us.
That's true. I learned a lot just by all the shit you had me look up just to teach me.
Yeah.
One more question for Steve. This will be the last question, I promise. Who was like your first mentor that you attribute to helping you go down this path?
Are you talking to Mark again? You're talking to me again?
Yes.
My
Who's
first,
your first mentor?
Mentor
that kind of helped you get down this path? I'm trying to get to understand you a little more better, sir.
Well, my father is a very giving person. Both my parents. My mother is a very giving person. She's wonderful. Both my mother and my father are, I would say, to generalize, they're educators. So maybe you're being raised in that atmosphere. Teaching is not unfamiliar to me. But I think growing up as a motorcyclist and seeing how we all help each other on the road if there was trouble, that was part of it. And then in 1992, when we got together as motorcyclists, realizing that, oh my God, the unthinkable happened, and many of us did that. It was like after the fact, holy crap, Helmet Law in California, this is bad news. And that's when I met the rest of the Bolt members, and when Tony Sanfilippo in Wisconsin had this idea of Bikers of Lesser Tolerance, and it showed us that that knowledge of the law was and the Constitution was critical to our survival, to our way of life, and I think.
Well, Mark, you know who's been on the show the last few three times now? Four times? Merlin.
Merlin Bianco?
Really? Yeah, Merlin Bianco, hey.
Still alive and well, cool. Traveling around America.
Yep, he's here for the holidays. He's been on the show for three of the last four shows.
That's excellent. I haven't seen him in probably
not here tonight.
17 years. But you know what, speaking of the Biancos, all of our prayers have to go out to Steve. He's kind of getting over I think it was an operation, and everybody needs to say, put in a good word to our Creator for Steve Bianco.
Steve was at a funeral a few weeks back, about a month ago, and he's limping and all that, but with his son, a friend of ours, Danny Deal, passed away, and Steve came back from out of state for the funeral. And he's, you're right, he's rough, but he is plugging away with the cane and all that still.
Good for him, good for him. Yeah. So anyway, I appreciate the questions. Thanks a lot, Bill, and also Phil. And good talking to you, Douglas. Betsy's still on here?
I'm still here.
Oh, my, it's been so quiet.
I know. Unlike me, huh?
Unlike most of the females I know, but I won't go
there.
I've got to always keep you guessing here. No, I'm learning and taking mental notes.
Excellent. So, hey, you guys, if I don't talk to you before then, have a good Christmas, and we'll see you.
Happy
you too,
happy
and I'll fax that to you.
Merry Christmas to you too, buddy.
Bye.
Betsy?
Yeah.
Oh,
we got one person on the line. I was going to bring in.
Oh, please let him bring him in then.
Doug and Betsy, give me a chance. Give me a minute with this guy.
I'm going to head out soon, honey, because I got to get up wicked early tomorrow.
Yeah, just couple minutes.
All right.
He's begging you now, Betsy. I love it. He's begging you.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I know. Is he down on one knee?
No. RJ, are you there? RJ.
Caller on, please. Bring Betsy back.
Betsy.
Yes.
Douglas, you guys want to make any comments about what we talked about tonight before you take off?
Oh, you know me. I never have anything to say.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's phenomenal that there are people that are willing to come on and share their knowledge, their experience, educate others that don't know as much and teach them what they know to know their rights and to be able to defend them. I just think it's great, and I think that's probably why you get so much of the following that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the secret is we all have different techniques, like I said, and each stop
right.
is different. Each police officer is different. I enjoy listening to other people, even though I do not agree with everyone's content on how to deal with the police officer. I find that by listening to other people, I can modify, I can tweak my response to the police. I think I have the way I want to do it. But to listen to other people,
yeah,
I can gather information. If it sounds better than me, I'm going to try it. And for that, for all the gentlemen and ladies on our show, I thank you all for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you just take what you need and leave the rest behind.
Well, that's what it is all about anyway. You know, you always learn a little something from somebody.
That's why
I mean,
the Lord gave us 2 ears and one mouth.
I mean, you know, those like right now, we got a guy in New Zealand, and I'm sure he's getting educated right now. He wouldn't be here. But
sure, it's the gentleman that left us in New Zealand years and years ago. You should have never left. It's the best country in the world. Come back home. To all you expatriates around the world, open your eyes. Come back home to America. This is the best land in the world. If you don't like it, change the laws. Change the legislation. Change the senators and congressmen. No more expatriates. No more leaving this country.
No.
I'll tell you, the secret weapon that we have that we are sure not using is the ability to go upstream and work as campaign volunteers for those guys who are already on our side. You know, it seems like now don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing anybody who's doing anything that promotes bikers' rights. But the one thing that we have not historically done, and it's the most bang for the buck, is during the campaign season when we have the ability to make legislators fear us. Because if we just express our opinions, you know, calling them up and writing them letters and things like that, they can ignore us. But during the campaign,
I got news for you. They're listening right now. The little gizmo we got here, they're listening right now.
You know, we have so many biker rights organizations. I know you guys have heard this so many times, but I feel compelled to share. We have to communicate better. We have to cross party lines. That may be a good way to put it. We have to work together as different organizations. And I know we have different objectives, but if ever we, all the organizations, the MROs, if everybody could ever come together and share more information, just think how powerful we would be. Instead of sometimes I go to meetings and I hear one organization kind of badmouth or put down the other organization. Oh, they're not real bikers and all that. That's so much bullshit. You're wasting my time. If ever we could come together, and I know, Betsy, I know you agree with this in some sense, if ever we could pull together, think how strong we would be.
Oh, absolutely.
I used to be the executive director of Beta Virginia. I've held officer positions in a variety of MROs, and I put all of my chips on the one type of political activism that rises above the level of expressing your opinion. If you write a letter, if you make a phone call, if you show up at a committee hearing, all of that stuff's good, but all of it is expressing your opinion. But when I'm out there delivering signs and working my tail off for those 2 or 3 months before an election, and I help somebody win, I got a friend for life. I've only been in California since May of this year, and I have helped 3 people get elected to the state legislature. They know me by name, and if I get on my butt and ride up to Sacramento, they're going to invite me into their office. That's the kind of friends we need. That's how you get it, is helping them when they need help.
Absolutely. That's what we do. We do the same thing here.
That goes along the lines of when we get a new mayor and Bill makes an appointment to go down and see him.
We want to give a couple of ways to give self-interest, and then we want to sit down for a meeting. We want to address what his objectives are in our city. We want to know how does he view motorcycles. Basically, we want to establish a rapport, a bridge of communication from day one.
But you have to go before day one. If you show up on day one, you are not somebody who helped him get elected. Politicians work first and foremost for the people who help them get elected. Everybody else stands in line. You got to help them win. Then you are already in their corner because they're in your corner.
Good advice.
Good advice.
Yeah.
RJ, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, did I wake you up?
No, I'm busy, just really busy. What's up, man? How you doing?
Okay, good. How you doing? Just so you know, this is Betsy out of Boston, We've got Douglas in California. He's in San Diego. And we got people listening all over the world. In fact, we have one guy in Finland that we know that's tuned in tonight.
Finnish, huh?
Absolutely.
Dude, was that one guy in Finland?
Yeah, the
one
guy.
Girl.
Oh, it's the one guy.
Okay.
Hello, Finland.
So, I told you to call in. You can give the plug for what's going on the 18th if you want.
18th. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on right now. Are you coming? We're doing that show with LA Guns next week at the Key Club. Are you coming to that?
Yeah, as soon as you send me the info. I heard it, but I didn't get any info on it yet.
Okay. Maybe you got one of the emails.
No, I got the one about the 18th.
All right. Yeah, the 18th will be a rad show. We are playing with some big bands, Hollywood Park.
Well, basically what we're talking about right now is our good friend Rusty and the boys. They're Attica 7. RJ's the manager for these guys, and I told him to call in because we usually play a lot of their songs on the show. And I spent Sunday with him, and we had a good conversation, and that's one of the reasons I told him to call.
RJ, did you make Rusty's grand opening, or
No, he was there.
Oh, I didn't get to talk to him.
RJ, he was beat up, dude, that day. He was beat up.
All right.
Hi. Yeah, because I'm not just manager. I'm everything all the way down to janitor.
Yeah, but it all pays off in the long run.
Hey, if you need a stand-in guitarist, bassist, or singer, man, shoot me a line.
For sure. But, yeah, at the clubhouse was a good time.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of people showed up.
In fact, I'll be at the one this Sunday out in Purdue.
Oh, that's right.
It's the 18th annual toy run at the Angels Roadhouse. It's going to be on Dunlap Boulevard in Yucaipa, and I'll have the info up on the blog.
And once again, you know, I'll be separated because we'll be doing the big cover-up for St. Vincent de Paul's and Brother Beano's. I'll be in North County raising all kind of stuff here while you'll be up there. Once again, we're split up again, going different.
Right.
This time of the year is very difficult for us to be together.
Right.
There's too many events going on.
Yes, sir.
So tell everybody about the 18th, what's going on, where it's going to be, the times, all that. And then I understand about the tickets, too. You're trying to sell some tickets?
Yeah, the promoter gives us an opportunity besides hiring us. They also give us an opportunity to raise some funds for ourselves as well. So he gives us a bunch of tickets and says, hey, you guys can sell these and keep them, which is good for the band because it's right into our band account. But, yeah, we have an early set time that day. We have a set time of 7:30 at Hollywood Park.
That's one of the three paddocks right there.
Hey, you got an email list for your band so that people can get on your email list, find out where you're playing?
Yeah, I'll put that in the chat room right now.
Appreciate it.
But just so you know, it's attica7.com. And RJ, I have a gentleman I gave you that CD. He's on the line. Are you there, Charlie?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
This is Charlie Baker out of White House, Tennessee.
Hi, Charlie.
And,
hey, Betsy.
That's
Betsy
Douglas, and RJ's on the line, too. What's up, Charlie? Hey, Douglas,
and RJ. How's it going, guys?
Good,
California, the weather's beautiful. Nothing changes, buddy. Nothing changes, Charlie.
Hey, Phil and Bill, I'm going to bail and make some room for some other people to get in here. I really appreciate talking to you guys, and I appreciate everything you do. Look forward to seeing you again, man.
And like I said, that email address is attica7.com. And there's a real good video up there, and we're probably going to close out with a song. We just haven't figured out if it's going to be Charlie or Attica 7 yet.
Awesome. Hey, okay, everybody.
I'm going to hang up as well and let everybody else talk tonight. I'm a little wiped, And I wish you all a happy holiday. If I don't talk to you, but I probably will.
Next Thursday. We'll be here, little girl.
You too.
All right.
Good
night. Appreciate that.
And then, like RJ, I was talking to Charlie, and I told him I had given you the CD, and we want to see if we can get us some gigs out here, man.
Yeah, for sure. I will see what I can do about that.
Sure. What I'm going to do then is I'll send his contact information to you and his to you. I'll transfer you guys so you both get you can get to talk to each other.
For sure. Charlie, does Charlie have a manager or
agent? It's bakersongs.com.
Okay.
I'll put that in the chat room too.
Does Charlie have an agent or a manager?
Oh, no, man, I'm actually, Sonia handles
all my
booking and stuff. Yeah, she handles all the bookings and kind of does the road management stuff that I do, but nothing on a national scale if you're looking at it like that.
Yeah, it's tough out there right now, man.
Yeah.
We have, Attica has a wide variety of support from anywhere from people at the low bottom of the totem pole to, you know, some of the highest in the music industry, and we still struggle trying to get to that next level. You know, as you know, in the music industry, there's 6 levels to reaching that stardom, and most bands can never get past that 3rd level. And right now, we're struggling.
Charlie was just in North Carolina for one of Sonny's book signings, and you want to elaborate on what's going to happen with that video they're making, Charlie?
Well, it's not, you know, from what I'm, you know, from what I know, I guess they're using, you know, some music off that CD for Sonny's video that they shot up in New York when he did the New York book signing. So I'm pretty excited about that, to have music in that for the for Sonny's thing for his website. So
waiting
for that to come out.
And some of the songs on Attica's album this year were played on the Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, that's really killer.
We were lucky enough to get 2 songs on there. So thanks to Kurt Sutter. Kurt Sutter has become a really good friend of Rusty's, and Rusty's building his bike right now. So, you know, we're hoping possibly the next season we're going to get Rusty on some episodes as well.
Yeah.
I've got a publishing admin deal out there with a company that's out of Malibu, or not out of Malibu, but out of Newport Beach. So, I've kind of got, you know, different types of connections, and I know that, you know, it's a great thing if you got something in a TV show, man. That's a great step to get your stuff out there and get a little bit of money out of that.
Well, those guys are pretty. They're getting pretty big in across the pond in England right now.
Yeah, that's cool, too.
Yeah, we're doing really well.
Just from watching the cross traffic. And then some of the pictures I put up, I get email at least 2 or 3 emails a week asking me if I really know those stuff like that. And when I write back, yes, I do. They want autographed stuff, so I just give them Rusty's email address so they can go direct.
Well, there's a really cool radio station out of there now called Total Biker FM. It's a biker radio. They play music. You know, it's just nothing but music. And they're out of the UK, and they're involved in some pretty cool stuff and possibly involved in some pretty cool bookings for next year. I may be hooking up with them and booking a tour for myself next August, you know, based on a lot of their help. So that's something you guys ought to check out, Total Biker FM.
Yeah, you sent me that link. I listened to it a couple of times. It's pretty good. But anything else, RJ, you want to go for?
That's it right now.
If you got upcoming dates, whatever it is, let's do it. Let's talk about it.
I know we're booked on a show called Fish Aid in Louisiana in March 12th. And right now they don't have all the bands confirmed, but I know that we're talking with Nickelback, Kid Rock, Sevenfold, you know, those type of bands.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want me to put on the blog? Send it to me, and it'll be up there. like I was saying earlier, today we had 126,127 people tuned in.
Yes, yeah.
Right in there. And I haven't checked, but it's probably gone up about 2,000 or 3,000 by now.
Nice.
Last month, it was just for the month of November, but I think a lot of that accident that happened in the desert had a lot to do with that, but it was 96,000 people in 1 month.
Wow, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I was on there 95,000 times.
So, like Charlie, like I said, we're going to see if we can get you hooked up out here, and then we're still waiting to hear from... Mona.
Yeah, Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
Rochelle.
Cool.
Once I get through these tour runs and all that and all my obligations to my community and all that, I'm still hoping I can get up. I haven't seen Attica 7 now in some time.
Right.
Well, I've seen the different guys off stage and all that, but I've not seen them since I emceed one of their shows so long ago. And
right, and then
wow.
you had to leave that day when they played.
Yeah. I got off the stage. I got to tell you, all these women came yelling and screaming pulling my clothes, and I told them, I said, ladies, I'm just the MC. Well, where are you going on tour? I said, I don't go on tour anywhere. I'm just the MC for the day. And just like that, they dropped me. If you're not in the band, you're not in the band. That's what I learned that day. MCing it just is not the same thing, guys. Disappointment.
That'll teach you, Bill. You got to tell some better lies than that in the future.
No, actually,
his wife walked up and introduced herself.
Right after I got stage, two girls did push me into the corner. It was quite a... And my wife introduced herself, but I did say, once I said I was just the MC for the night, the interest just waned like that. And I said, well, on the album, no, I'm just a one-night MC, so... being famous was fleeting for me, just a matter of seconds.
I've been chatting with Michelle a little bit too, so hopefully we'll get up with Michelle here before long about Rock Stop the Violence.
Yeah, we're trying to work. You know, she wants to do it in March, but we'd rather do it in May so we can do them simultaneously, which is what we talked to Rusty about that, and I mentioned it to you, RJ, where Rusty said with Michelle he would bring the band down and they would play. So, but what we're trying to do is I went back in May and I helped Charlie with, it's called Feeding America. And they had a run down there, but the problem was that Tennessee had that big rain and a flood the week before. So it kind of like, it didn't go the way exactly it could have gone, but we're hoping that it goes better this year.
Rod.
And I don't know, have you talked to Michelle at all, RJ?
No.
I'll put her in touch with you. But T-Rod and Rusty are
very excited about it.
Very excited about getting involved.
She's
in this
quite
one.
A good spokesperson.
Nice. Yeah.
Are you going up there? Are you going to be
cool.
up there Sunday? Are you going up there Sunday?
No, I'm not. I have
no?
to take okay. Sunday to do absolutely nothing but drink beer.
Okay. And then how about you, Charlie? Are you still playing by the marina?
No, well, that's done for the season, man. Hell, it hasn't got out of the 30s here all week. So that whole thing.
Oh, geez,
thing,
it was,
know.
What, 72 and sunny with a slight breeze off the ocean today, Bill?
I had a T-shirt and a Pendleton, and just a regular Pendleton, not a line Pendleton, when I left work tonight and I drove over here to Screwdrivers. I have not yet... I carry my chaps with me because one never knows. But so far this year, no chaps, no leather jacket, no nothing. The heaviest I've gotten is a Pendleton. How's that sound, Charlie?
It sounds good, man. It sounds really good. Yeah, it's been a bit wicked around here. The outdoor stuff is over. I think I'm going to head back to North Carolina for a New Year's Eve gig back over in Raleigh where we did Think for Sunny. And that's probably about what's on the book. And then take the month of January off and... hopefully be back out in February.
That's going to be at the clubhouse, correct?
No, it's going to be it's going to end up at a place called Crazy Shot Billiards, the actual place where they did the book signing. I don't think I'll be at the clubhouse, but we're hoping a bunch of the guys come out from there because they're going to have a New Year's party there too as well, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's a party you don't want to miss.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
experience.
I'll probably be at the bar. I think you know one of the members owned a owned that bar, Crazy Shot Billiards. So it's kind of a mix and match there, I guess you'd say.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. Listen to this one, RJ and then Charlie. Okay, in Australia, they're gonna try and pass a law to take away your right to remain silent. What do you think about that?
Pardon?
Huh?
Well, they might have a hard time if Bill ever went over to Australia.
Yeah, well,
it's hard
like
to keep him silent.
Yeah, but it's just like when they took all the guns away. And,
well, you know, they just repealed that they just ruled today or within the last 24 hours or so, they just ruled that they can't stop associations. They were trying to stop bikers from hanging with bikers in Australia, for Christ's sakes.
Right, and they tried to kick them all out of the bars with no colors. But when they found out that all the security and all the bars is all the guys from the clubs, they had to give in.
Yeah, they just shot that law down. Their Supreme Court just shot down the association thing where you weren't allowed to even associate with other bikers, which was totally ridiculous. I don't know how anybody could pass that.
Mm-hmm.
They tried.
You know, we're down to like the last 6 minutes. And you know the old game from 1 to 10? Pick a number. So between you two guys, whoever this is, because I enjoy having you both on the show. But between 1 to 10, whoever picks the higher number is the song I'm going to play.
How lame are you?
I know.
How old are you?
Well, I know.
Guys, are we going to ask him this?
It was only the fairest thing.
You know
I could
what?
Think of.
I'll go along with it. I'll go along
the
with
the
it.
The fairest thing I could think
All
of.
All right, let's ask Charlie first. Charlie, what's your number?
Number 6.
All right. I don't know the answer to this one, so RJ, what's your answer? Your number?
8.
What do you got, screwdriver?
Okay, then we're gonna play Bill's favorite song. Charlie,
right, let's get some.
Charlie, you'll get 2 or 3 next week.
All right.
We'll try to find something more sophisticated next week, gentlemen.
Yes.
Well, let's get some Attica 7. Let's get Bill Kennedy's favorite song.
And I thank you guys for calling in and. If you want to stick around, listen to the song, Charlie, RJ. I'm gonna tune it up right now. But this one is called War.
Listen to the helicopters coming in. Listen to the background.
Cool.
Feel the mood.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Good night.
You too,
gentlemen. Thank you for calling in.